And welcome to the final of the season previews here on the History of Yugoslav Football podcast. Looking at the last league to begin, which is the Kosovan Superliga. Obviously, I'm calling this a bit of a funny time because of what's been going on in the European competitions. And certainly, I'm intending on doing a European roundup prior to the playoffs, because during the playoffs I'm on holiday. But you know, unless you've sort of been living under a rock, you'll sort of be aware that Dinamo's game against AEK that was meant to happen this week was postponed due to fan violence and the unfortunate death of an AEK fan in that unrest. Obviously, we don't know exactly what happened in terms of, you know, it's the case that the police are still doing their investigations. But yes, I mean, when we do that European episode, that will be, you know, the very first thing that's mentioned. UEFA at this point haven't taken any action beyond, you know, obviously cancelling the first leg and moving it to next weekend. But obviously, you know, if there is more serious action than that, we'll obviously cover that in full. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about a league that's getting much better in the grand scheme of things in terms of UEFA coefficients and things like that, primarily courtesy of their lead side, in so much as they have one, in Balkany. And as with all, obviously we're going to run through all the sides. And what I haven't done this time is actually put together a bunch of questions. But I think there are some of them that are very obvious, such as who's going down, and some questions which are always more difficult to answer. You always have quite a good title race in the Kosovan Superliga, and this season looks to be absolutely no exception to that whatsoever. So we'll sort of look at, you know, natural place to start is Balkany, and they have had, you know, issues, quite some major reworking over the summer, I think it's fair to say, or at least maybe some major reworking since the start of last season, in terms of the players who have been able to get their names out there courtesy of their European run last season. And I think it's probably fair to say that now we're at the point where most of those players have gone. Really, there's only Meriton Korunica, from an attacking sense, who's still there at the club. And he shouldn't still be there at the club. He should have moved. He's you know, better than this league. But in terms of the sales, you obviously had Mark Krasnici go mid-season last time to Cluj. And most recently, we've had Albion Rahmani move to Rapid Bucharest. That move was kind of interesting in the sense that it nearly had to be reversed due to Rahmani not... He only has a Kosovan passport, and Romania doesn't recognise Kosovo. So there had to be a bit of visa manipulation there. I think it's probably the fairest way to say that, towards getting him the move that, you know, his form so richly deserved. As for them in Europe so far this season, they've been very predictably impressive, I think it's fair to say. They beat Ludogorets at home in the first round of the Champions League before messing it up in Bulgaria. Then we're drawn against Larne of Northern Ireland, beat them 7-1 on aggregate. They've got Lincoln Red Imps in the third qualifying round. I think you would expect them, very much you would expect them, to get through that particular round. When it comes to the Conference League playoff round, then you're going to be talking about them likely facing either Sheriff Tiraspol or Bart Borisov, which is definitely going to be a tie they can get through. I think both of those sides are fading. Barter, obviously, you're very much fading because they don't have access to players. Sheriff, probably the same. They've been raided quite a bit over the past 24, 12, 18 months. So, yeah. In terms of players that come in, we've got players who've come in from a few ones who've come in from within the league. Most notably, Bleat Tolai, coming in from Malasheva, so probably more the direct Rahmani replacement almost. With them also paying fees for Vessel Limay, coming in from Helmenstadt, and a couple more players coming from outside of Kosovo. In Andrea Hotcha comes in from Germany. Rahmani is obviously the most notable outgoing. After that, he going to Drita is a fair loss as well, as is Stevie Frashieri, the keeper. But you know, for Frashieri, it's Hodger who comes in as the replacement for him. They have, you know, I think a very good squad. There's no doubt about that at this level. You know, really, you've got to come up with an argument as to why they won't win the league, or at least why they won't be up there. You know, and it's quite hard to do so. I think probably what's fair is to say that, you know, Ilya Dayer obviously is the best manager in the league. I think certainly in his 18-month spell so far has more than proven that. But that last season they took a little while to get going, probably because of their European commitments. If they're in the Conference League groups again, I think, you know, that obviously is something that you have to kind of have in the back of your mind, that it might, you know, through September or October, you know, you've come through 8 games of qualifying, you've got 6 more in the groups, they've got to be fit in somewhere, that, you know, that they don't hit the ground running. But can you come up with a valid argument as to why they wouldn't win the league? I think that's pretty difficult, to be honest. You know, they do have such a strong squad. That's all over, really. You know, Lumbar Delova, centre back, very familiar to fans of Croatian football. Armin Thaci, right back as well. In Juk in the centre. Kendrim Zhiba, you know, has long been tipped as a very good player. Nazmi Gribshi, you know, really has shone at this level. Obviously, we mentioned Meriton Korenica, one of my favourite players in the league. You know, maybe if you want to really pick at them, you're probably saying, do they have the central striker this season? And you need someone like Tolai to immediately pick up the slack. Because, you know, at the minute, if you look at the qualification games that they've played, they've been playing with Almir Kyrgyzstan and Meriton Korenica as strikers, neither of whom are naturally strikers, it's fair to say. And you can get away with that against, you know, a Northern Irish side, of course you can, but it's not a state that you want to have throughout the entire season. Let's put it this way, you know, there's a reason in that particular game they were able to let Albin Rahmani go between legs. So there is certainly a number there, a number nine that they need. There's no doubt about that. But probably currently the European situation that they've got in draws has actually allowed them to get away with it a bit. Closest up to them, no doubt, will be Drita, as it is most years. You know, say we always have a good title race, but it may regularly be a fairly predictable one. Drita, their European campaign was ended last week by Victoria Pilsen, 2-1 on aggregate, which is, you know, okay. They fell at the first hurdle in terms of, you know, entered at the second qualifying round, but that's actually a pretty decent result, you know, against a much more storied side. In terms of their business, obviously, as we mentioned, I mean, Kresu, gone to Balkany. But otherwise, they've not really lost too much, and they have, I think, added and made themselves a slightly better side. You know, bringing in Albert Dabichai from Gilani, also Dilian Georgiev comes in from Bulgarian, Haydn Salihu from Lokomotiv Zagreb. Those are good solid gets. Some of them are bets, I think, you know, particularly Georgiev and Salihu, you know, sort of coming really just from youth football. They're things they need to work out, and they need a little bit of luck to do so. But the promising ones. In terms of their loss, however, you know, I think again you probably could actually make the same argument against Drita as you can against Balkany, which is, do they really have a number nine? Which they don't know, obviously Marcus Simonovsky's gone to he's gone to Uzbekistan for the money. So you're looking at them having a front line of really, it's going to be reliant on Adi Tahiri, the 20-year-old striker. They have brought in some support from him in Blair and Krasnici, who comes in from Mioveni in Romania. And he did appear in the Conference League qualifiers. But it's probably fair to say, you know, maybe they are a number short there. And I mean, you look over the two legs against Pilsen, you know, they only scored one. You look at Krasnici's record in Romania. Okay, it's Romanian top five, so it is a slightly higher record. You know, there's only two goals in 21. The season before, he was in the Superliga at Gilani, scored 9 goals. So that's not really the return that they need. To at least, it's not a return that you can build a title run on. With Adi Tahiri, you know, you look at last season, really as his breakthrough season. Well, sorry, over the last two seasons, you know, again, sort of similar production to Krasnici in that last, in his last Superliga season, you know, so falling around just under that 10 goals a season. They do have plenty of players I like, you know, Castro Salmani, great player, a great right winger. And Blen Bafdiu, Ron Broja, you know, that's a really strong midfield. I think with adding Dabichai in there as well, you have two really good holding midfielders in Broja and Dabichai. Bafdiu can play slightly further ahead of them. Muharrem Shashari, well, you know, sort of doing a bit of creativity. They've got a really, really strong block in the centre of the midfield. And if Akis Favalis is able to combine that all into one, then I think they will be set for a really good season. Can they challenge Balkany? They need the goals. And I, at this point, you know, I think Balkany have the amount of goals in them that would equal Drita's striking options from Balkany's non-striking options. So if Balkany adds that number nine, then, you know, they're there already, really, aren't they? So having covered the big two, we then move to ask, can any side get in between them? And the three who will hope to will be Gilani, Dukajini, and FC Pristina. The first of those won't. I don't think it's really too disputable to suggest that they won't. They've had a lot of players leave over the summer. A lot. There's basically one player come in, which is a 19-year-old from Lapi's youth system. And a lot of players who left, they basically don't really have a defence, which is concerning. You know, they do have some players I like, no doubt about that. Baton Sabergia is a player I've liked for a couple of seasons. I think he certainly has the scope to be able to play at a higher level than Kosovo in the next few years. But Gilani are in a bit of a state. They don't have a defence, quite simply. At least not one worth speaking about. They did creditably against Progress and Edicon in the Conference League qualifiers, but again, you sort of look at that squad that they put out and what's left since then. You know, you had up front there for that second leg was Athir Rashidi. He's left. Then you also have Andrew Kalichi, Abner Ramadani, a big one. Yep, he was playing there in the midfield in that particular game. Yeah, there's a lot that's gone, and I think it's quite hard really to hold out too much hope for them. I think you're looking at that, I think it's four of that team have left, and that includes basically the whole midfield. It doesn't bode well, understandably. Jelani are a side who regularly do compete at the right end of Kosovo, but I don't think this is going to be their season, or at least I don't think there's anything to suggest that this will be their season, which then naturally makes you ask about Dukšini. Now, Dukšini got through the first round of Europa Conference League qualifying, beating, I think it was Europa FC of Gibraltar. Then they came up against Rijeka. They did very creditably in the first leg. I think they only lost 1-0. Then they went to Rijeka and got battered. I wouldn't take anything from that. The Rijeka side this season is really good, as we've mentioned on this podcast before. Dukšini were never going to stand a chance against them, and so it proved. They are, I think, even Stevens. You sort of look at what's come in and what's gone. Otto John left for Azerbaijan. He's replaced by Theophilus Solomon, coming in from Jelani. Picked up a couple of players from around the league. Buya Shabani coming in from Verzhai. Iran Jr. from Drita as well. You know, people are, again, plenty proven at this level. They're not worse than last season, but what I would say is, you know, they certainly did outperform all expectations of them last season to be, you know, anywhere near the mix, as it were. You know, they ended up fourth. That was just a huge surprise. You know, I think certainly probably when we did this time last year, we probably had them more like eighth or ninth. So, you know, clearly they have the quality, they have growth in them. A lot of their players are at the right ages in terms of, sort of like your age-based prime, the prime of their career, and so on and so forth. I think knowing that Jelani have dropped off, I think they've dropped off quite a bit, they have a chance to at least repeat what they did this time last year. Which leads us to Pristina. And I think last season they did some, what felt like some good business. And obviously didn't necessarily turn out to be good business, in terms of youthifying their team a little bit. It didn't work out for them as they expected, obviously. You look at, again, you know, they've lost a couple of major players, Dridon Chennai, has moved to Fushë, Gledimichi to Tirana, Andrew Krasnichi to Shkendia, and Buya Plana to the youth ranks of Southern Bluebell. But again, I think a very decent shot at trying to replace them, but it's mainly been replacing them with players who are coming up from a lower level. Amal Velici comes up from Drenica. You know, Drenica got relegated very easily last season. You've also got Alan Krasnichi again from relegated Verzhai, Rilin Nemani, Arjen Muja from Trepča. They've plucked players who were good at bad sides, which doesn't necessarily mean it'll translate to being good at a decent side. That is potentially problematic I think it's fair to say. But again, yeah, I think really we're comparing them in this sort of mini league of three, really, with Jelani and Dukshini. And I think Pashini probably come out as the best of those three on paper. You know, I really like Akron Sholai, the keeper. He's a big lad. He was at, I think it was Besiktas, a couple of years ago. And when they were in there, you know, we're basically playing the youth team for an entire season because we've got no money. So he was, you know, letting like four or five goals in a week as a 19-year-old keeper. But you could see even in that, well, actually, you know, you might be letting in four or five goals a week. That's probably not doing much for your confidence. But your actual basic tools of having the size, having the shot-stopping ability, having the reflexes and extension were all already there in him. What he didn't have was obviously a team that was any good around him. What Pashina have is quite a few numbers and less in the way of quality. You know, I am quite like their strike force. You have Alvin Krasnici and Leitrim Kriesiu. Kriesiu in particular, I think, can make an impact this season. Something more so than he was able to do last time out. But yeah, again, I think if you compare the squads, purely because we know Jelani don't have the numbers, they don't have that defence, they have this sort of unbalanced side because of the amount of players that they've lost. You know, over the next couple of weeks between here and the end of the transfer window, they need to be blooming busy. Pristina don't need to be. They probably do need to add a little bit of quality, I'd say that. And that's, you know, probably in the spine of the side, which is kind of a negative thing to say. But you know they will bring players through. You know, a very good youth system there. You know, and you look at sort of who they've promoted to the first team, and there's quite a few, you know, 17, 18-year-olds peppered through it. Iqbal Yashari is one definitely to keep an eye on. I've watched him through youth level, and he looks pretty good. He made some appearances in the cup last season and scored, if I remember rightly. Transfermarkt doesn't show that he scored, but he did score. He's also related to Adam Yashari, obviously the person who kicked off the Kosovan War. So very much a notable name for multiple reasons, but I think also because he's quite a good footballer. We will see how they do. You know, I think they are, as I sort of said, quite a few sides across this series of pre-season preview podcasts. They're not here this season, but they're getting towards here next season and the season after. You know, certainly, you know, the amount of players they have coming through, the record that they have of bringing those players through as well, you wouldn't bet against them having a couple of hits that are going to make them quite a bit of money going forward, but also they're going to be able to bring them back up into the mix for the title over the next 2-3 seasons. At the very start of this, we mentioned that there was one side who very much don't stand a chance in hell, and that side is Souche. Now, they are one of the promoted sides, and the reason why they don't stand a chance is because they've got about 15 players on the books. I think Transfermarkt has 12. I had a little check on SofaScore. I was like, because when you see they have 11 and 1 sub, you're like, well, that can't be right, can it? Then I went on SofaScore and it said they have 15. So, yes, they are numerically lacking, I think it's fair to say. And because they're numerically lacking, you automatically have to pin them to the bottom, unfortunately. Sorry. You know, again, a lot of what they brought up with them are players who've not really been at this level before. They've raided Ulpiana, who were at this level 3 seasons ago, if I remember remembering rightly. You know, when you sort of say about Pristina trying to pick the cream of the crop from the relegated sides. Fouché have picked up the the dregs. That's a very unfair way of describing their players, but I think this is going to be a long season for them. You know, you look at this, you sort of look at their form lines from last season, you automatically look at the cup games, and they got beaten very handily indeed by Malasheva in the last 16 of the cup last season. So, you know, again, if you are getting beaten handily by a side like Malasheva, who, you know, we'll get onto in a moment, but will be struggling, then that sort of tells you that you may well be quite overmatched at this level. And I think, yeah, they have half a squad, and that probably tells you your own answer. You know, if you look at what's on there, they don't have any centre backs, which I've given to understand centre backs are quite important. So when we watched them in their first game of the season, I think they're actually hosting Jelani. We'll run through the first round of games in a moment. You're scared. There could be some very interesting formations being put out there by force. They're here to get, they're going to get shelled. If we're entirely honest, if you compare them to the other side coming up, one of the other sides coming up, Lilia Prizren, they're much better, or at least, you know, I don't think it's difficult to be much better, but they actually have a squad. They have probably too much of a squad at this point, but that's something they need to sort out. They have brought players in from some very innovative places. You know, not just from Albania, they bring in Andriy Stafa, who comes in from Flamatari. But they've been bobbing about South Africa, Siyabonga Dube. Junior Petrus, who comes in from a Namibian club in Blue Waters, I've been doing this for a little while. That's the first time I can ever remember seeing any transfer coming in from a Namibian club. So, they have an interesting agent, no doubt. You also got a couple coming in from outside, Bleandro Cepi from Gorishan in third tier in Croatia, and Mergin Bajrami coming in from Brühl in Switzerland in the second tier there. So, you know, we're making that comparison straight away between Fouché and Lyria. You can see straight away that Lyria are much better prepared. They bring in a couple of players from small size, particularly Fajon Bunyaku coming in from Phoenix, who are a Kosovan, not a lower league, I hesitate to say a lower league club, but they're more a youth finishing academy. The one who publicise themselves quite well, so you do see quite a lot of their players, or at least you do get to know quite a lot of their players. Bunyaku is one of those, and is one whom I can confirm is pretty decent. Milos Zeninai coming in from FC A&N, pretty soon, you know, sort of taking a step up from a local club, but A&N again did creditably in the cup last season, so you sort of seeing that they're taking chances on players, definitely, but they're taking chances that might actually pay off. And you sort of see the players who are going, you have Maraf Tandina going to Samtredia in the Georgian League, but that's, you know, an interesting step up. Mamadou Sissoko going to Turkey as well. They're an interesting squad. No doubt about that. And, you know, yeah, ultimately, when we're talking about the bottom stat levels of this league, we're going to be talking about, you know, are they or are they not better than Fouché? And yes, they quite clearly are better than Fouché. There needs to be some numbers trimming. You know, the squad is large, particularly midfield and defence, but, you know, that's sort of what you see with promoted sides. You know, do you stick with what you've got? Do you sort of bring loads in and have quite a lot of squad turnover to try and bring in the quality? And it's difficult to know, really. what the right thing to do is, for one, but also, you know, what quality they've brought in. You know, I don't know anything about Namibian football. There's people probably listening to this and who's debating whether I know anything about Kosovan football as well, but here we go. They've an interesting squad, I think is the long and short of that. Fernie Klee, back with us this season. And yeah, again, I think very similar to what we've just said about Lydia. They come up with an interesting squad and they've done quite a lot of work to bring it up to standard. Bringing in sort of backups from other Super League clubs, such as people who sort of aged out at certain places, like Ahmet Haliti from Trepča, Behar Malici from Malisheva, Alban Shilova from Malisheva also. You know, players who can do a job, even though they might be not necessarily doing that job overly consistently, I think it's fair to say. You have a couple of players, again, brought in from the lower leagues, like Abdul Zangrana coming in from Flamatari as well. So, yeah, I think you also have to bear in mind with Ferdinand Klee, you know, they are one of the bigger names, I think, of Kosovan football. You know, certainly their recent record probably doesn't justify that particular denotation from me. But, yeah, I think, you know, Ferdinand Klee are a side, you know, even sort of before watching Kosovan football as much as I did, that I was aware of, you know, sort of through European football, which is kind of strange, I suppose, but you know, I knew about them. They do need an up in certain areas of performance, there's no doubt about that. I think it's particularly sort of the creative elements of the side are what would concern me. You know, can they get the possession, can they control games? You know, I think you look at the as a midfield ranks that they have, a lot of them are unproven at this level, which is why they've brought players in to attempt to sort that, you know, such as Medmenaku coming in from Dukajini, also Robert Rachmani coming in from Derbyshire as well. Again, you know, we're going to do that comparing to Fouché. From that, do they have a chance? Well, yes, absolutely, no doubt about that, no disputing. Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the quite interesting things. Yeah, with Kosovo, you have this quite expansive relegation system. You know, you can have three sides going down in a season, and as a result, three coming up, which is obviously what we've got this season. So you have quite a lot of turnover, and you probably have quite a lot of instability in squads as a result, because naturally you have, if you have three sides going down, you've got 30% of the league that are looking to cut back, 30% of the league that are looking to expand in an experience quite rapidly, and that's on top of whatever natural churn there is in the league itself. So, yes, I mean, Fouché would be absolutely nailed on for bottom. Between Lydia and Ferenc Klee, I think, you know, naturally, I would tend to give it to Ferenc Klee to be on top, but there's a couple of other sides that we've got to mention first, which are Malisheva and Chlapi. Malisheva are probably the ones who you'd be like, ooh, okay, you might be in a bit of trouble. That's specifically because you look at what they've lost. You know, obviously, they are Tolai, mentioned, gone to Balkany, you know, really good right winger. Ronald Silvale, explosive, it's like this is a little, it's about 5'6", 5'7", I think, and is built like a brick proverbial house. And he's moved to Lashi in the Categoria Superiore. Which is, I find, one of the most ironic names of any division, because there is nothing about it that's superior to much of anything. But yes, he's gone to he's gone from Malisheva on to there. So you're talking about really taking out quite a bit of the attacking structure from the squad. They've not, I would say replaced all of it. You look at some of the major incomings. You've got Esmin Lechina coming in from Makedonia, Joshi Petrov, and Menderim Hodti coming in from Pristina, as well as Besnik Ferati coming in from Pobeda. Now, I think comparability, the North Macedonian League isn't too different in standard in general to the custom one. But you are taking the chance. I think, so we mentioned Tolai, we mentioned Sovale, we mentioned also Faruk Bihac, who's gone up to Tuzla City. So, again, there's three players who were within the squad last season who people have looked at and said, well, you are able to make a step up and have done so. So you've sort of, you skimmed the cream off the top of the side. And yes, I'm all about the cream metaphors tonight, apparently. You look at the balance of the side, and it's so-so, I think it's fair to say. Defence is obviously an issue. They do have a couple of players I like in midfield, specifically I think Bruti. Again, sort of like Agoncioli, one of those who came through the Vespe Academy quite some time ago, and looked an immediate standout at 16. And it's taken him this long to sort of really get the ability to impose himself again at Super League level, but probably has the scope to develop further and take a step up in the future. You look at Malasheva's record from last season, 52 goals scored, 52 goals conceded. The reason that they stayed in this league was because their attacking setup was more than competent enough to compensate for the fact that they let a ton of goals in. And they did let a ton of goals in, they were, that 52 is the third worst record in the league. That's obviously very problematic, particularly when we're looking at a side now where you've taken a lot of that attacking firepower out. You're talking about them probably having lost 15, 20 goals really from that lineup from last season. And you've also taken the best defensive player, and you've had to make bets to try and replace those. Those aren't going to pay off straight away. And therefore, I'm going to pin them as, I think, a side that's probably going to be down there, flirting with relegation, if not giving it the full on. If not giving it a full-on drunken snog at the end of the season. As for Lapi, they are, I find, a bit of a difficult one to judge, because Lapi, I think when they've had good players, they've tended to flatter the deceive quite a bit. Particularly sort of when we saw Valmiervelju at the club, and Krasniqi. Both to his wingers, that's an absolutely electric lineup, but they never really delivered on it, as a side, all in all. Their recruitment's just wild, to be quite honest. They have a lot of players having departed, 18 gone, which is a heck of a lot of players, particularly when they've gone all over the shop, really. We've seen some go to Indonesia, Thailand, North Macedonia, Albania, Montenegro even, and they've brought in players. Obviously, I think everyone's eyes are naturally drawn to bringing in Jose Corbian, who is a Mexican winger who has joined from Zacatecas in the Mexican leagues, which is just weird. It's not what you expect to see popping up. Again, I think pretty much like the Namibian lad, very good and esoteric agent work there. Because this is a player who's actually, you look at his background, come through Necaxa, so he's got a very decent youth record in Mexico, that obviously didn't necessarily deliver out as he expected. But I think automatically when you look at a player like that turning up in a league like this, you automatically are like, okay, what's going on here then? How good or otherwise are you? He doesn't have too many. Well, I think compared to what your average 25-year-old in the Gosselin League, if it come through a Gosselin youth system, would have, he doesn't have that many appearances, I think it's fair to say. But there is the potential, you know, because yeah, this is a History of Yugoslav Football podcast, not Central American football. There's every chance that he just turns up and absolutely walks the league. And it'd be very fun if he's able to manage that. But yeah, like I say, naturally it jumps out at you, doesn't it? Seeing that some of their signings are a bit more sensible. Arbnor Ramadani coming in from Jilani is a very good signing, as is Granit Xhishari, again from Jilani as well. You also have Hamdi Imani coming in from Drita. You know, what they've looked to bring in is quite a lot of solidity, and Kobian, you know, is sort of adding the garnish on that. He is the sprig of parsley on top of your eggs Benedict, as it were. That's apparently a thing that's apparently a saying now. I think again, you with a lot of this size we've talked about a real lack of balance in terms of the recruitment. I think there is a lack of balance in terms of quality throughout the side, but not a lack of balance in the side itself, if that is something that makes sense. You know, they have the numbers where they need to be, and they have at least one of the numbers of everything. What they don't necessarily have is, you know, if you have injury to players, or if you have, you know, someone like Ilya Krasnichi, you know, obviously Ilya Krasnichi, fantastic player, you know, really going to be, you know, linchpin of their midfield, but someone could come and get him. And then you take that out, and then what are you getting into? Maybe needing to use a 19, 20 year old that hasn't been so exposed, and that you don't know so much what you're going to get. With Lappi, I think you have a first team side that is good enough to push for those European places, depending on how their attacking system works. But that's it. You have a first team, and then you have a depth options that probably are, you know, more suited to playing closer to the bottom of the league than the top of it. Certainly not the match of Balkany or Drita, no doubt about that, or really even Pristina. So there we have it. That's run through the league as it is. It is always an interesting league. You know, I always describe the Gosselin League as immature, because you have players really who are much better than the league, and that's not meant as a slight on anyone. It is just a factual thing. You know, the league has, you know, we're into what, a seventh or eighth season of it being properly recognised by UEFA and everything, and you haven't quite got out the system of players who were in there already, who probably already could have been at better clubs. They haven't worked their way through the system. You know, we saw this real rush of players leave, you know, around 19, 20, 21, Abel Hoxha, Jepmir Topali, etc., who had excelled in this league and clearly, you know, looked a stage above, and got the move they deserved, because, you know, they wouldn't have had the eyes on them before. You still have players like that, you know, Meriton Korunica. It's the obvious one in my eyes, at Balkany. What he's still doing playing in the Gosselin League, I don't know. But it's one of those where I think, you know, scouts probably looking at it don't quite know fully how to judge it yet, as to where its comparability lies with a lot of other leagues, because, you know, naturally being a newer league, its coefficient hangs around closer to the bottom than the top. And it hangs around closer to nations that are probably, you know, in the strength of certain sides far worse off than it. You know, I don't think there's any doubt if you put, say, Balkany against Drinski Mostar, that Balkany would more than hold their own. You know, quite aside from anything, you know, they've got the European experience to do so. But they don't have the depth of playing talent, also of higher up leagues. You know, you talk about, let's say, we mentioned Bosnia. You know, I feel fairly sure that the 10th best side in Bosnia would beat the 10th best side in the Superliga. That's, again, it's not intended as a criticism, that's just sort of where the depth and quality lies within the league. In terms of this season, you know, I don't, as you probably see, there's not really any evidence that to upset any apple carts. You know, you have one very, very poor, very in trouble side. Maybe four or five sides whose transfer policies have been to add numbers, but, you know, really you're adding numbers without necessarily the guarantee of quality, trying to pick from relegated sides, trying to pick from the second tier. And it probably means that the things that were entrenched from last season are going to be very much entrenched this season as well. You know, I think, as we sort of mentioned with Dukajini, are probably the only ones who upset the apple cart last season. I think they will do so and be able to push for Europe again, but it will be at Gilani's expense rather than Pristina's this time around. So, obviously, like with each, we're going to just run through the first round of games starting this Saturday, the 12th. Pristina opened the season hosting Ferenikli. Fushë opened the season hosting Gjilani. Dukajini hosts Malisheva. Then on the Sunday, we have Drita hosting Lappi. That will be a good game. And Balkany hosting Lilia. Balkany obviously still very much involved in the Europa Conference League, as we mentioned. They're playing, as I'm recording, they're playing Lincoln right now. So, best of luck to them. Thank you very much for taking the time. If you listen to all of these pre-season preview podcasts, then give yourself a medal, a very niche one, I suppose, for your expanded interest in the footballing world of South East and Europe. So it leaves me only to say, if you've enjoyed this, sharing is caring, please do tell 10 to tell 10 and all that stuff. If your chosen podcast service does use a review system, pop a good one in. It all helps the algorithm, I'm sure. But otherwise, thank you very much for taking the time to listen. We will have a proper timeline episode coming up covering the early 2000s in Slovenia. Slovenian football, which will, I promise, be very, very interesting, and maybe annoy some Olympia fans, I don't know. That will be coming up fairly soon. Script is written, that is ready to go in the can once I have a couple of hours just to sit and record it in silence, which is probably going to be next month now. I think we'll probably have also a European based one after the third round of everything, and before the playoff of each tournament. We'll talk about the chances of each side from the region that's still remaining at that point, and also possibly the campaigns of those that aren't. Spoiler alert, if you're a Montenegrin side, it's not going to look good for you. But yes, thank you very much for taking the time to listen. As always, I'm extremely grateful, and I'll catch you next time.